And with that, I'll let Luis come up and finish off this session.
Good morning. My name is Luis Bermudez. So how many of you know about OGC? Raise your hand. Oh, okay. So maybe I will speak, I will go very fast on the first slide. So as we know, we have a lot of nodes, and not billions, but I mean, a lot of nodes, even within mobile devices, and those nodes do not understand each other. And the problem is here, for example, even to try to describe a well, we use different vocabularies, and we use different models that have that can be encoded in different ways. And the protocols are also very different. Sometimes we use HTTP URI. Sometimes we just use methods to invoke machine to machine. And it's very costly not to be interoperable. So we have the left side is, doesn't matter. You just publish your data, your models in any way, or why don't we use common standards here? Being interoperable saves a lot of money, so there was this study. And there's a lot of reports about why do we need to do this kind of work. Google, for example, OGC KML, if you don't know KML, it's an OGC standard. And the good thing is open. So if you are an OGC member, you can participate in the working group and then vote if you want to have new features, etc. So we are a global forum, and I'm talking about all these because I want to give you the overview of OGC and how semantics work within OGC. So we are a global forum, and we lead the development and promotion and harmonization of open and freely available geospatial standards. We have over 400 member organizations. We have most of our members are commercial members, but we have government, we have academia. Most of our members are from Europe, believe it or not, and U.S., part of Asia, a little bit of other countries. And becoming a member is very important for you if you are not. We have alliance partners with other standard working groups. And we publish about 30 or more standards. For example, SensorML, CTTML, KML, data services, which are interfaces to get data, catalog services, processing services. And we have a lot of implementing products that you can go to the web and see if a software is implementing it, it has been certified with an OGC standard. Now, there is a difference between other standard organizations and OGC. We really want to work on the standards and see and test them to see if they work or not. And that's why we have the interoperability program development, most of about 40 initiatives. So we have test beds, interoperability experiments, pilots, and PLOXes, where we test and improve the standards and we provide the feedback necessary for the specification program to make the standards work. Now, so I'm going to highlight a lot of some of the OGC semantic work. OGC has not really focused on geosemantics. Recently, a lot of work has been happening. It's not easy, not perfect, and this is a slide from Carl Reed. So it's very hard to have 100%, let's say, mapping of UML models to OWL. But we just need to focus on what is really what we want to do, and if we are able to answer some queries such as give me the schools nearby, something, when weather is bad. So for the first 3 years, OGC focused on what was a coordinate. It was very simple semantics. What is a point? What is a feature? And there are abstract models, GML, etc., that discusses and provides that information. But what we want to do is to see how we provide the interaction with domain community models and the process of OGC and the specifications that we already have. For example, there are working groups such as, or groups, communities such as GeosIML and CDGML, where they have their own domain models. And sometimes they reuse OGC standards such as the WFS, And then we provide consensus about the model, and then we need to approve about what is the encoding and how we are sharing that model. In one case, they work on their own domain models and they bring it to OGC, for example, hydrology, water ML. In other case, they extend, they create their own future profiles, such as GeoTiML, and then they take it to another organization, such as this one, the Commission for the Management and Application of Geoscience Information. There is a geosemantics domain working group, which Josh chairs. So there are presentations at every TC meeting. The last presentation was on this week at Sydney, and this is what they talked. So John Herman presented GeoSparkQL. There was also a presentation about, this was working about the semantic sensor, the SSN ontology work that Amit presented, and also presentation about linking data exchange standards into the linked open data web. So you can see how the members of ODC are going, and they're very much in tune with what is happening outside ODC, in particular with W3C technologies. At ODC, there is a group called the ODC Naming Authority. It was created in 2008, and this is very important related to semantics because that everything that is at OGC now, meaning documents, schemas, classes, reference system, everything is uniquely identified with a URI. And there is a process at OGC where those unique identifiers are validated. There is a registry where you can look at what are the different types, name, etc. For example, conformant classes have the unique identification. This is important because then you can encode in RDF and create these semantic mashups. This is another example. Even if we have URNs, we have resolvers that connect, for example, in this case, to the EPSG registry. So OGC has these interoperability program activities on one of that is GEOS, and in the latest GEOS architecture implementation pilot project, which reports are available on the web, there was a semantic thread, and in that semantic thread, there were a couple things, such as there was the use of a dictionary service and also an ArrowGeoS broker that was using the URIs that I showed previously to tag resources so they can be discoverable. For example, let's say I need an ODC web map service. How do I do it? Well, there is a unique identifier that you can put in a catalog, that you can associate a service with it, et cetera, et cetera. Also, there have been some work related to semantics in the sense of web enablement. One was one activity that I was very involved with a couple of years ago. So we had the Ocean Science Instability Experiment where we do sensor observation services, and we had domain ontologies, and with those domain ontologies, we tagged the services. And even if we were using different ontologies, for example, we were able to categorize, give me all the seawater temperature of those sensors. And as you can see, these ontologies were created basically directly from the data sources. We had our presentation in RDF, and we were able to create mappings and be able to categorize different sensor data. And also the W3C working group, which is working on the semantic sensor network. And I like this slide very much. This was presented at the ODC-TC meeting this week, where you can see, well, we have sources of data, such as in this case sensors, and we use ODC interfaces, sensor observation services, to share data. We have models like SensorML and observation and measurement. And then we build on top of it semantic representation of those models. And then we are able to create mashup services. So I think this is very nice. It shows, well, ODC already has some interfaces that we can build on top of it. There was a special semantic web interoperability experiment. I think also Josh was very involved with it. For example, there was some initial representations of GML and ontology, and also different information models such as this one. So I said, well, if you have a service and you have data sets that use metadata, then how do you tag those data sets with ontologies? And I think this is sort of this is used by the Catalog model. And now the last one is there is an AWS ODC Web Services Testbed 8 that is about to start. There's already an RFQ available. And there's going to be a threat, which is called cross-community interoperability. We want to advance semantic mediation approaches to query and use data based on different heterogeneous data models, which are available via ODC Web Feature Services. This is the engineering viewpoint that we have here. So there's going to be an ODC mediation component, right, which talks to a catalog where different data services, such as WFS, are going to be registered. And then this ODC mediation service not only is going to discover those services in the catalog, but it's also going to translate and even is going to discover styles that are available for a particular feature type. It's a very advanced concept. But if you are more interested, you can read the RFQ. SparkQL, we already had a nice talk about that. And then last announcement, there is an ODC meeting here in the U.S. in September, so don't miss it. And that's all. Thank you.